Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them. We call it the Martini Scale.
What's up, ladies?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good. Well, we say good morning, but it might not be morning for some people. Okay. That's what awkward.
Good day.
Good day to you. I said good day.
Are we not a morning show?
This is not a morning show. No, this is not the morning show.
I thought this was like a morning talk show that people were tuning in every day to listen to us talk.
Every day? Do you want to do an episode every day? I think we have some people that might like us to do an episode every day.
Oh, really?
I don't think we can handle that. What if this was just like our full-time job and we could do this every day?
But
would we run out of movies? We could have to branch out.
Yeah. We're going to have to go on to that Hulu or the Disney.
Disney
Plus?
The Disney.
So we didn't get to do our post-Oscars episode, so I think we should spend just a second with sharing some of our thoughts.
Ooh, okay.
How did things go down? I was, I'm going to say I was disappointed because I think that Parasite deserved to win, and we all agreed on that, but I think that 1917 deserved Best Picture.
Yes.
I think all the other accolades that Parasite received, like, well-deserving, I think, again, Best Foreign Film,
Yes.
That's where it should have been. But Best Picture, I just don't know. What do you guys think?
To me, I was shocked, but I wasn't mad. I think had Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or another film won, I would have been mad. So
gotcha.
I love the support that Parasite's been receiving. To me, that's really, really exciting. Like I said last year, I felt like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse should have been nominated for Best Picture, not just animated. So I like... Because somebody else that I was talking to was arguing with the fact that if it's nominated for Best International Film, it shouldn't be for Best Picture. And I'm like, fuck that noise.
Because then you're double dipping, though. Like, don't you have to pick one?
No, I don't think so. Because I feel like if a movie kind of transcends its certain genre or category, it shouldn't just be kind of stuck in that box. It should be recognized as a whole. And that's, I feel like... That was a really missed opportunity last year. Like, that film should have been nominated for Best Picture. It really was one of the top 10 best movies last year. So
I have an interesting theory about this because there is a movie that I know that neither of you have seen. I have seen it twice now, and it is phenomenal. In fact, I saw it again last week at a screening with the director at Arclight, and seeing it a second time actually moved it up my list.
Oh. Interesting.
And I don't know if I shared those with you guys before, but when I saw it the first time, the immediate thing that came to my mind was that it's the lesbian Call Me By Your Name, which is super random. But it has so many elements of that film in terms of just like the way that it's lit and the slow, drawn out scenes and the phenomenal acting. And just the story is really like timely and poignant. And like, it's called Portrait of a Lady on Fire. And I had, so it is, there's this website called Letterboxd that I'm trying to get you guys to utilize more because it's actually a really cool site where you can basically, like, every movie you've ever seen you can rate and then make lists of things that you've seen. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, but I haven't been able to dive into it.
Yeah, it's time consuming. I mean, you gotta spend some time with it, especially if, like, you care about, like, I'm, like, obsessed with, like, making my lists and making sure that, like, things are in the right, you know, order or whatever. But it was the number 2 rated film last year on their website, and they have millions of users. And what I learned at the screening is that it wasn't submitted for Best Foreign Film from France. France submitted something else.
Oh.
And it's actually gone in wide release this weekend. So the weekend that we're recording is third weekend of February?
Second
weekend of February? Oh. That's right. Valentine's Day. How could I forget? So it wasn't submitted by France. And so it had no chance. And so what was interesting is I think that movie, because I was actually really surprised that it didn't get any Oscar attention, because trust me, when you see it, I strongly believe that it's worthy of Oscar attention. And I think that a lot of people felt that like that could have potentially won like Best Foreign Film, and then Parasite could have won Best Picture, and everybody would have been, you know, happy, whatever. But anyway, I don't know. It was a lackluster year. I wasn't super excited, but I
do feel, and I've had this conversation with a couple people, I feel both Parasite and 1917 were perfect movies and masterpieces in their own way. I feel cinematically what 1917 did was just a step above and was just kind of so amazing and masterful, and I just love that movie so much. It's not something that it's like I'm going to continue to watch over and over and over again, whereas I'd probably enjoy watching Parasite.
Yeah,
that's multiple fair. Viewings. I just feel like where that kind of how it pushed the boundaries of filmmaking to me was like that's worthy of being given this honor. And it makes me really mad because I know, Sean, you and I talk about the movies listed on the wall in Dolby. Hollywood and Highland outside of Dolby. Yeah. And it frustrates me to no end that 1917 isn't recognized up there because I feel like it should be. And something like last year, Green Book is up there. And that feels so unfair.
Yeah.
It makes me really... I'm so glad Parasite's up there. Like, that gives me a good feeling.
Yeah.
But the fact that 1917 isn't up there, that makes me sad.
Yeah, I agree. And it was interesting because it was going to be, like, 2019, and then underneath it, it was going to say 1917.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. I don't know.
I know. I was really hoping that was going to be up there, so...
Which, speaking of years, I have to say that Lena told me a joke last night. It wasn't really a joke. It just made me feel really bad, and I had to laugh about it.
It is the best.
And I was actually, like... So, I've texted this to a bunch of people because I'm actually, like, mind-fucked by this concept. So, maybe you can tell a little bit of the story.
Okay, so, I'm trying to keep everyone young. So, I'm the go-to TikTok person who just watches TikTok videos all day long. I don't post.
Can vouch for that.
And I don't interact.
But you share.
But I watch.
And you share.
And I share. And I was this girl. She was in her car and her son was in the back seat. And he was probably like, I don't know, six, seven. And it just says on the screen 1984. And she says, my son called me old today. And she was like, I'm not old. She's, you know, 30-something. And he goes, Mom, you were born in the 1900s. That's old. And I was shooketh.
Same. When you told me this, I was shooketh.
I have to tell this to everybody because it's so true.
We're 20 years into a new century. Mm-hmm. And we don't even, I don't think about it like that. And I don't realize there's literally someone that's 20 years old today walking around that was not born in the 1900s.
Is your mind.
So fucked.
We are born in the 1900s.
Oh, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about somehow we were talking about like 9/11 and where we were. And she was like, oh, I was in second grade and I didn't really understand what was going on. And I was like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, it's crazy because like the whole slogan, like
second grade.
Well, the whole slogan that's associated with that is never forget, right? And it's like there's I feel like as a society we've kind of I don't think we've forgotten, but it's definitely like as the years pass, it becomes less prominent of a it's chalked up to history at this point, right? It was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. It's weird to be old and alive, and I feel very grateful, but I also feel fucking old.
Yeah,
so weird.
So Sean, we have a guest bartender today. Hold on,
we're gonna get to it in a second. So let's just talk about the movies that we're discussing today, and then we can go into it because you have to understand the movie to understand
the drink. Okay. We have an idea for a new segment, but I do want to like tell the audience what we're doing today, what we're talking about, because we haven't talked about that yet.
Okay, so in this episode, we're doing a double feature again today, and it's two movies that are kind of popular. Well, one of them is more popular than the other, I think, ultimately, but one is a movie that's been out for, I think, like a month now, but we're stoked on it, and we wanted to do an episode about it, and the other came out more recently, and I am less stoked about it. Haven't consulted you guys on this yet, but today we're talking about Bad Boys, and then we're talking about a movie that's actually been renamed.
I know.
Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I think it was originally called Birds of Prey, / Harley Quinn.
Okay,
well, who the fuck cares? All right, so just to give you guys some clarification, Bad Boys for Life is an action comedy starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. It is the sequel to Bad Boys 2 in the Bad Boys franchise. This is weird. I didn't realize it wasn't directed by... Michael Bay?
Michael Bay,
yeah.
Did all the originals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He makes a cameo.
Yes. He does.
So what did he do? He executive produced this one? Maybe I could read on and it would tell me that.
There you go.
Okay. it was directed by Adil and... Bilal. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Bilal.
I just fucked that up. Bilal. Yeah, okay. It was produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. There we go. And it follows detectives Mike Lowry and Marcus Burnett reuniting once again when someone starts murdering people involved in an old case. It co-stars, and I think this is like one of the more fun things to talk about. It co-stars Vanessa Hudgens, whom I'm so obsessed with right now.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Alexander Ludwig, Charles Melton, Paula Nunez. I know I butchered that name.
Paula Nunez.
Paula.
Yeah, there's like 50 other people in this movie that I'm not going to talk about. Okay, sorry. Let's move on. Birds of Prey. So I've instructed you guys not to sip your martini yet, and I'm halfway into mine, so I'm already a little tipsy. And I apologize.
I would like to drink. Me too.
Okay, so Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Harlot. That's such a fucking stupid name. Or simply Birds of Prey. It's a superhero film based on the DC Comics team, Birds of Prey. It is the eighth film in the DC Extended Universe and a follow-up to Suicide Squad. It stars Margot Robbie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Rosie Perez, Chris Messina, Ali Wong, and Ewan McGregor, amongst, like, there's, like, 50 other people in the list, too, that I'm not going to read today.
Journey Smollett-Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Journey Smollett-Bell. There's just tons of great people that weren't as great as they should have been in this film, but we'll get to that, in my opinion, at least. All right. So
are we going to talk about this martini so I can drink the damn
thing?
We're
going to talk about this martini.
Let's talk about the martini, and then I want to do a quick segment before we dive into the movie.
Do you want to do that before we talk about the martini?
We want to have sips.
Okay.
So our guest bartender.
So who's the guest bartender today?
It's Sean himself.
Who has finished
the martini, and we haven't even had a sip.
Yeah, I'm almost done.
Oh,
it's pretty good.
God.
So here's the thing. We saw this movie, and I immediately, like, there was something in this movie that made me think, like, that just sounds like the name of a martini, and I have to use it, and you may or may not know what I'm going to say.
Oh, no. I'm excited.
So, this, and it feels like it just brings everything kind of full circle. Oh, now he knows what it's called.
Okay.
It just kind of brings everything full circle, and I think it's, like, the perfect name for a martini, but it's also, like, really prominently used in the film. You know where I'm going with this. I've put a twist on it, though.
Okay.
So the name of the martini is the Hasta el Fuego, okay, which means hot.
On fire or something.
And so the ingredients in this martini, it's basically, I'm not going to lie, it's a jalapeno margarita.
Okay.
But as you'll see in the picture, I actually put a little bit of effort into this.
Yeah, it's cute.
So it's got, like, I actually bought jalapenos and limes and borrowed Natalie's salt. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm excited. I actually think it's good, but I have different...
You borrowed my salt? Are you going to give it back to me?
No, okay. Not unless you want it.
I licked mine. Do you want it back?
So feel free to take a sip and tell me what you think.
Great.
I will advance. I'll tell you in advance. It's not as spicy as I'd hoped, and I used an entire jalapeno.
Mmm, that's good, though.
Mmm.
I like it. Good? Very, very good.
Okay, I've got a little bit left, so can enjoy it.
It's got a little bite to it, which I like.
It's got... So I kept tasting it.
I like the smell of it.
I kept tasting it. I was just making it, and I was like, "It needs more spice. It needs more spice." And so I only started with like half the jalapeno, and then by the end of it, I was like, "Fuck this! The whole thing's going in." And I probably should have included some of the seeds. I strained the seeds out.
Mm, the seeds on the top.
You gotta muddle the jalapenos a little bit first some of the tequila.
Because it has to sit a little bit
and let it sit, and that will pick up some of the spice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, it's your first time.
This is why I'm not a bartender, though. This is why I'm not.
It's really good, though. I like it.
Okay, well, as long as it tastes good.
Thanks.
Because we've had some
good job.
Some accidents. So I've added something to the name of the martini, though.
Okay.
So it's officially titled the Hasta el Fuego Martini, right? Uh-huh. However, this is where I first got the name. So the martini was first called, and you'll either laugh or you won't get what I'm talking about. But I initially called this the Natalie's Pissed About the Wheelchair Martini.
What?
Do you know what I mean by that?
By the wheelchair.
Okay. So there's the scene in the movie where Will Smith, if you haven't seen there's going to be spoilers. Yes. There's going to be spoilers.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. I completely forgot.
Well, that's what stuck with me because there's a scene where Will Smith is like bedridden and he almost dies. And 6 months later, he's in a wheelchair. Right. And it was kind of weird, and I didn't actually think about this until Natalie mentioned something, and she was very passionately angry when she did.
Yeah.
But she's like, he literally, like, gets out of the wheelchair. It's like this moment of, like, oh, my God, he's he can walk or it's whatever.
At the wedding.
So at the wedding.
He's at the ceremony in the wheelchair. Yeah.
And then he's like then never wheeled, seen in a wheelchair again.
And then wheeled to the dance floor.
Yeah.
Where he then gets up dramatically to make a speech. So I'm like, oh, okay. One, you're not the father of the bride that's wheelchair bound, that's learning to like re-walk again to walk your daughter down the aisle. That's where you are not that person in this family, but whatever.
Yeah.
You're just Uncle Mike. Way to make it about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so he gets up dramatically to make this speech and then apparently never needs the wheelchair ever again. So for the theatrics of it, you were just in a wheelchair for the first part of the wedding?
Yeah.
And never needed it. Walked away fine. Like, oh, just pretend like I wasn't wheelchair bound earlier.
Which is kind of rude.
Yes, to make a big fucking deal and have a wheelchair space for you in the ceremony and you actually don't need... Just for that moment. And you're like, oh, great. I'm fine.
Okay. So this is the Hasta el Fuego / Natalie's pissed about the wheelchair martini. Okay. Cheers.
Cheers. So I wanted to introduce a new segment that I haven't come up with a new name for.
Okay.
And maybe it's like a quick shot of movies that we've seen that we want to talk about.
I was
that we're not going to do an episode on.
Yeah. I have been thinking about adding this segment as well. I'm so glad you said this because I literally was thinking like we see so many movies that we don't do specific episodes on that I would love to like share that like, oh my God, I love this, that don't even make like the end of the year recap or whatever. Exactly. So yes, I would love to have that discussion. In fact, let me pull out my phone with all of my movies. I have, so this Letterboxd app that I'm telling you guys about, I really think you should start utilizing it.
I do want to keep track of the movies I've seen this year and
so
stuff on it.
I have a bunch of lists. So if you would like a sneak peek of Sean's top 50 movies of all time, I have curated this list very carefully. Ooh. So you'll hear it in an episode one day that we keep talking about. However, it exists on Letterboxd. And I have all the movies that I've seen in 2020 so far.
I like that.
And I think it's cool because I can keep track of them.
Yeah.
And then when I need to make my end of year recap, it's very easy for me to go back.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to dive into that.
Okay,
cool. Well, one movie that Lena and I saw that we keep trying to talk you into seeing is The Gentlemen. Yes. And so we know we're probably not going to have time to do an episode on this. And it's something that I just want to, for our audience to be able to say, like, the marketing on this movie was so
shitty
and terrible and did not explain what the movie was properly. And it's, to me, it was like, seemed like a sort of like ripoff of Kingsman where it's like these group of guys coming together to work a job. And that's not at all what it is.
And I went with that.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, you know, it's got all these great people in it. It's good cast. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go see this. I love Kingsman, blah, 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 blah. Didn't look into anything other than that. And holy shit, was I so shocked and surprised.
And I'm not typically like a Guy Ritchie fan. I kind of do want to. I want to go back and maybe watch
some more stuff. I am a Guy Ritchie fan. And I was like, wait, hold up a second.
Yeah.
He did this?
This movie was
so shocked.
So fun. And I feel like I would give it a one martini, Lena.
One.
Okay.
For sure.
So I loved it.
Like, this is my favorite movie so far that I've seen.
Interesting. So you guys are not the first people to tell me that. I've actually had quite a few people tell me they liked it. And it's weird because when you host a movie podcast, I don't know if you guys have this experience, but like people literally just come up to me and tell me about movies that I should watch or something in ways that they didn't used to. And I'm like, oh, thank you. That's cool. Yeah, so I feel like maybe I'll see that because everybody keeps telling me it's amazing. I think the reason that I haven't, to be quite frank with you, is the marketing. Like, it just doesn't appeal to me.
It did not.
The trailer looks stupid. Yeah.
You have no idea. It's such a great movie.
It's kind of like this, I don't even know.
Is it like Ocean's 11-y entertaining? Because that to me is like.
It's very comedic. It's very fast paced. Yep. It's really fun. It's kind of
jumpy.
A little bit of like a hoot.
It's kind of a Knives Out situation.
Did you say a little bit of a hoot?
I was trying to say whodunit.
Yeah.
I think I have it.
It's a little bit of like, because it goes back and forth, and it's very Guy Ritchie style.
It's really fun.
Okay.
It's very fun.
I'm open to liking it.
Super fun.
So I have two movies that I want to talk about. Really quick. I'm going to actually, because we need to move on, it's going to be a long episode. So one of them was Gretel and Hansel. And I'm mentioning it because it's one of those movies that, like, on the surface, it was kind of just meh, but, like, it haunted me at the end. And so when I think about a movie after I leave it, that's when it, like, really starts to get me, and I feel like maybe it's something that I need to talk about and tell other people to see. It's also one of those movies that other people that I know that have seen it have loved it. Mm-hmm. It's very dark. The cinematography is really good. I would say like the set design is really good. It's got the girl from It in it, the one that plays the younger...
The redheaded girl?
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I recommend it.
What would you rate it?
I would rate it a solid 3.
Okay.
I mean, it's like it wasn't my favorite movie I've seen in a long time, but I think it's worth mentioning, I guess. Okay. And then the other one that I absolutely think is worth mentioning, you can actually stream because it's now on digital, is called Waves. I was telling you guys a little bit about this last night. It is such a... I would also argue that it's one of those movies that, like, is not marketed appropriately. I think the marketing is fine, but I think that, like, once you dive into the film, it's one of those movies, and I don't think this is spoiling anything, but the second half of the movie, or maybe the last third of the movie, is a total diversion from, like, what you've seen so far. And the story takes off in a totally different direction. And I wasn't expecting that. And I wasn't expecting, like, the lead character in the film. I was expecting his journey to be something totally different from the trailer than it ended up being in the film. And maybe that's a compliment because they didn't give anything away in the trailer. I don't know. And it was still satisfying. Well, the ending wasn't very satisfying. But I was like, was it satisfying? Was that the right word to use? Anyway, I recommend the film. It's streaming now. You can buy it for iTunes on $10. You can buy it for iTunes on $10.
Yeah.
Or you could buy it on iTunes for $10.
iTunes will give it to you for $10.
Choose your choice. Yeah.
And what's your martini rating for Waves?
I think I'd give it a 2, solid 2, okay. 2 plus. Hmm. Yeah. It was a good movie. A very good movie. Okay. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that. I like that segment.
Anything I know. Else? I think it'll be fun. We got to come up with a cute name for it. We were kind of thinking shots, because we're going to take quick shots at like what these movies are.
Or take your shot.
If you have a better idea, feel free to email us or hit us up on the Insta.
Yeah, but I think we should even feature almost all the movies we see, even if they're bad. And
I agree.
We should warn people to not see them.
Totally agree. I'm almost done with my martini.
Or to sneak alcohol into the theater, you know?
I'm almost done with my martini, and we're not even...
I'm almost done, too. I've been sucking it down.
Yeah, it's very good.
Should have made extra. I have a little bit of extra, but I should have. I know. Sorry. All right. So let's dive into Bad Boys, because this is a movie that I...
Bad Boys.
I will say, can you do that the whole time? Because that would be awesome. Natalie was really excited about this movie. And I will be honest with you guys. If I saw the originals, like the first two, I have no recollection of this.
Oh, wow.
So me going into this was like kind of blind. The first thing that I want to say is that I can't remember the last time I had this enjoyable of a time in a movie.
Wow.
And this for me solidified that Will Smith is 100,000% a movie star.
Oh, okay. It took you this long to figure that out?
No, it didn't. But I feel like he's had hit or misses. But I feel like you had alluded to something in a previous episode where he's just like, it doesn't matter. I think it was maybe you were talking about...
Well, this is why I actually really like that we combined Bad Boys with Birds of Prey, which is a Suicide Squad.
So maybe it was you.
It was both of us.
Me, yeah.
Okay. Because in Suicide Squad, he is the movie star. And I felt that way kind of about Gemini Man, which is interesting because the woman that plays the lead in Gemini Man, and I can't remember her name, is in Birds of Prey.
Oh, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was weird because I didn't like her as much in Birds of Prey.
I did not like her in Birds of Prey.
Yeah. But she's very likable in Gemini Man.
But I also didn't think Will Smith was a movie star in Bad Boys.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
I think he stepped himself down a little bit.
Interesting. I'd love to talk about that more.
Well,
because
the things I don't like about the movie are related to that.
Yes.
Because he wasn't doing what he's so good at.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Talk more about that because I disagree with you.
Well, we've got a couple of trivia things that we want to bring up about it. So Marcus hitting Mike's car door on the fire hydrant is a callback to the behind the scenes incident on Bad Boys 2, which was released in 2003. So they got this Ferrari through an entire car chase without any damage. And Martin Lawrence opened the door when they were done and he hit the passenger door on a concrete barrier. So, and it could be seen in the outtakes and stuff.
Yeah.
So they did that as just kind of like an inside joke for them. And then despite this, what I found really interesting, despite both actors receiving top billing, this is the first film in this series where Will Smith is billed first and Martin Lawrence is billed second. So I thought that was like interesting.
Well, Martin's been gone a while.
Were they both billed simultaneously before?
I want to say, yeah.
I feel like they must have been. Yeah. Will Smith would not have taken second.
I know. So, and then this will be the first Bad Boys film not directed by Michael Bay. However, he has a cameo in the film.
That really bothered you.
Oh my God. Wedding really master of ceremonies.
Can't let things
and
go.
And announces Mike Larry.
That he really bothered you.
Didn't he do a cameo in another something?
He was in Coyote Ugly. He was a news photographer. Oh, he's the one who takes a picture of her on the bar. So that was it on the trivia. I just wanted, I loved the, like, him hitting the car door on that. I was like, that's so funny.
It is very
funny. I have a little piece of trivia for anybody. If you're listening and you work at the AMC Century City and you control the volume in the Dolby or the Prime or the IMAX, what did we see it in Prime?
We saw it in IMAX. It was very loud.
Extremely loud.
You need to turn that shit down because it literally was like, I'm all for experiencing the movie. If you've been to my house and experienced the surround sound, I like a loud volume. I'm not going to lie.
I can't hear myself breathe.
Okay.
This was couple notches too loud.
It was too much.
Even for me. I like to really blast it.
Okay. I also want to give a nod to the casting director for this film, because there are so many attractive men in this film that I could not contain myself. I'm not gonna lie. So I want to start by saying the actor, I'm not even gonna try to pronounce his name, but I'm in love with
Jacob.
Him that plays the son of the woman,
Jacob.
Mm-hmm. So attractive.
Okay,
so attractive.
Did you I had a moment when I first watched this movie.
Okay.
And when he came out and he was like her son or whatever, and I was like, God, he looks like he's mixed. How is he totally Spanish?
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, there was something about him. And then later on, I was like, he has that look.
Interesting.
Did you think that when you first saw him?
I just thought he was stunningly attractive.
I mean, I thought he was attractive, and but that I was like, there's something mixed.
But you
in
know
there.
What's interesting about that? It's really interesting that you say that, because my type, I've never been able to pinpoint my type because I've been all over the spectrum with people that I dated, but my type is mixed. I think that's
and
why I'm so drawn to this guy.
I don't know if it's because I'm mixed. I notice like more.
Maybe that's why you're
like,
my type.
Oh, hey.
But I feel really left out.
That's what you get for being 64% Italian.
Seriously. Okay, so then also, but I want to give a nod to Charles Melton, who I just like,
hello.
There's something about him that I am so attracted to. Like, I can't even explain
his
it.
Love him. I want to rip his jawline off.
God.
I don't like it.
Really?
He's so cute.
Oh, what? I think he's so attractive.
No, Alec Ludwig, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The two of them. Lord.
That's the other one. I'm just like, what? It's like literally like every scene.
I didn't realize he was that tall.
I feel like you're lucky if you get like one hot guy in a movie lately. And this was like literally like scene after scene after scene. I was like, oh my God, there's another one and another one and another one. And the fucking extras are hot. Like, oh my God, it was so such a gift.
Well, it's in Miami. Everyone's
such a gift.
Hot in Miami.
That's true. That's true.
They actually filmed in Atlanta, but you know,
but still,
they filmed it in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so cheated.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's a piece of trivia I didn't need to know.
Mm-hmm. At least I read that somewhere.
No, I feel like first of all, the scene on Ocean Drive at the beginning is obviously in
Miami. Well, I'm sure they're gonna shoot certain things there, but like the majority of it would be shot in Atlanta.
It's probably filmed in Toronto, for all I know.
So what are your favorite scenes? Or things you liked about the movie?
Oh, me. Speaking of Mr. J, he played, what was his damn name in the movie? I wrote it down. Hold on.
While you're thinking
Armando.
About it.
He played Armando Artaz or something. I don't know how to say the last name.
Okay.
Aretas?
Aretas, yeah.
Yes. Armando Aretas.
Okay.
So when he, his mom tells him to go and like, you know, be the gang leader and blah, blah, blah. And he's obviously now in Miami, I guess. And they pull out that big like cargo thing. And there's all those people around and the guy's like, this is my money now. And he's like, no, it's not. And then he just went the fuck off and killed everybody in that fucking circle except the people that he was like, I'm your boss now. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm whatever you want me to do, buddy. I'm there. He was so hot in that. And I was like, he is so talented. Who the hell is this kid?
Interesting.
I was not attracted to him.
Until
and
then?
And I did not. Oh. Never throughout the movie. And
what?
I did not find him to be a good actor at all.
Oh, wow. I thought he was a great fight actor.
I think his fighting skills were good, and I think that's part of why he got the part. But there was times where it felt like he was doing a good job, and then there were times where I'm like, "Oh, you look so uncomfortable right now talking."
But he's very new. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was so cute.
While we're on the topic of casting, I want to talk about Vanessa Hudgens because I was always indifferent to her.
Although, like, I loved her dress at the
Fantasy when she was Fair. Like a child star or whatever that was, that whole thing, I was indifferent to her. But I enjoy seeing her in. You guys didn't see the J-Lo movie, right?
No.
With her. Like, there's just something about her screen presence that I really like. I feel like she's.
What's J-Lo movie?
Oh, yeah, we did. Second act.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did. We did see it.
I did not like her. I don't like her.
I love her.
Why does she use that baby voice? Stop using a baby voice.
I don't hear a baby voice. I just hear Vanessa.
No, you just see beautifulness.
Well, yes, I do. Okay. I think she's gorgeous.
I wish she had toughened up a little bit more for this movie. It looked like she didn't train or wasn't really a cop. I was like, I don't buy you at all.
She looked like she was in high school.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to disagree with you because I fully enjoyed this performance of hers.
I didn't dislike her, but I was like, oh, you could have been better. Like, yeah. I think something like this where you haven't been given a role like this that you kind of have to play like a tough badass.
Be a badass.
Like, take months of training and go to like a police academy thing and learn how to hold a gun and how you would like enter into a building. Like, I didn't buy her doing any of this.
It was very weak. Yeah.
Did you have favorite scenes, Natalie?
I will say I really enjoyed... And this is a common theme with Birds of Prey, but like the fight choreography was really, really fun. And in particular, what I enjoyed the most was the fight between Mike Lowry and the kid on the balcony of the building where they like then fall off. Yeah, when he's wearing his motorcycle helmet and then they fall off onto the awning and then onto the street. To me, all of that was really fun and very intense and shot well. I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
So, and like... Whether they use stunt people or CGI or whatever it was very seamless. It looked really, really good. And so I enjoyed that.
I want to say that I have a question about how Will Smith's character could afford that penthouse. Like, if for some reason, like, it was really strange to me because, like, okay, he's a cop. Cool. Like, cops don't make that much money. And I was like, how does he afford this? I don't know. It was like a weird, like, Friends, how do they afford the apartment in New York? Maybe it doesn't matter thing. It's just, like,
or
for some reason.
Riding around your bike in an apartment.
But, like,
you're
he literally.
College student.
Yeah, but totally. But it was like, Greta. Hashtag Greta. Mm-hmm. But, like, no, I don't know. There's something about, like, he's driving around this Porsche and he's got these, like, custom Italian suits. And I'm just like, what? Is he, like, also in the mafia? Like, what's going on? It was just strange to me. I was like, he's a cop, right?
That's his style that's been in all of the movies. Yeah. So I know that that's not something. And I, in a part of me that I didn't like all the backstory and the reveal of who those people were, I did not enjoy that at all. It was very typical and expected. But I did like the piece of it that, like, that's why he's got that swag and that gangster kind of attitude. Yeah. No, Will. Because that's how he was in... That's how he was trained. So I liked that did like that. Bring back a little bit more of, like, this is why he is the way he is.
Enjoy her. Paola. I
fucking hated her.
I hated that whole character. I hated her as an actress.
Wow. You guys are way more harsh on this thing than I thought you'd be. For some reason, I thought you were going to, like...
It was, like...
I liked it.
It was
lot.
Enjoyable. Yeah. But it's, like...
It's those little things that I'm, like, why?
How much... But I have a deeper appreciation for especially the first film. I love the first movie. Love it. So, this did not reach that level.
It was too juvenile, almost.
To me, the whole problem with this is, like, this
because
movie
the second
took
one
itself
got grittier.
Yeah, it just took itself too seriously, and it didn't have as much fun. And I think that was, like, the magic between Will Smith and Martin Lawrence is, like, they're having so much fun and joking about the job, joking about each other. There's a lot of, like, funny moments even within all this action until it gets to that, like, all is lost moment, and then they got to buckle down and be serious and make this shit work.
Yeah, but
they were too serious through the whole thing, and that's, like, Will Smith just, like, mean mugging and, you know, just, like, up on his balcony
exactly
and whatever.
What you're saying is it was them too, and then you have Martin Lawrence's character retired, and they're not even together.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the whole point of them the movie is for them to be together.
So that's an interesting critique, because I personally, like, one of the notes I have about Birds of Prey, which we'll, I know we'll get into in a minute, but it's like, that to me was like all style, no substance. Like, there was, it was too much fun. I was like, I don't need, this isn't fun because you're, it's so much fun. Like, I want a story. There was no story. Whereas this one, I actually felt like had a clearly defined story and like had like plot twists. And like, I don't know, like I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be a movie about them being cops and jokes and whatever, mm-hmm. and there was like actually like an interesting story that was written behind it.
I definitely liked that was his son. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't like how she was this witch, and then you know, which is,
oh, that didn't bother me. I don't even feel like that was relevant. Who cares?
Like, why do you have to put that in there? Like, I don't know. It's yeah. just the little things like that was just like. But she annoyed me anyways. I mean, it's okay. Just about that.
One of the other things I wanted to mention that I actually thought was really cool, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I grew up in the 90s, and there was a lot of...
Back in
the 1900s. there was a lot of 90s music was, like, remixed and re-recorded mm-hmm. for this. I think I counted, like, at least 4 or 5 songs that were, like, literally hits in the 90s that these were, like, the new versions of in the mm-hmm. movie. And I actually thought that was, like, a really cool throwback mm-hmm. to when, like, the original came out, and... The fact that, like, they're older, obviously, and, like, I don't know. There was something really fun about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's fun.
I mean, I loved the style and how it was shot. It was mm-hmm. definitely, like, a more modern version of Michael Bay's take on the films. It just, to me, like, that Will Smith is such a strong comedic actor that it's, like, when you're having him in a coma, recovering, mad and trying to get revenge on who killed him, and, like, he's not having fun in the movie... That's where it's like, I feel like you're missing a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
I think that's a valid critique.
Yeah.
I disagree, because I literally, this is, I mean, the note that I have is like, I just love the experience. Like, start to finish, mm-hmm. I think it's everything I want a film like this to be. And to be quite candid with you, and I think I told you this, like, I didn't want this film to be anything. I didn't really want to see it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I enjoyed it as much as I did, mm-hmm. not caring about it, and maybe that's why, maybe because my expectations were literally nothing. Mm-hmm. And you guys maybe had higher expectations. I don't know. But like, this movie is like, I'll give my review already, but like, it's a one martini movie for me. Like, this is a movie that like, I cannot wait to watch again. I can't wait to own it. I can't wait to have it on in the background.
I don't think I had expectations for it, but I enjoyed it a lot. And I'm saying it's a 2 for me. I will totally watch it again. Like, I enjoyed it enough for that.
Yeah.
It's not the best movie, but it was super enjoyable.
I think it's the best movie.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you haven't seen The Gentlemen, so.
Oh, shit.
It's
my favorite movie of 2020 so far.
We're doing
yeah.
a rating? Okay. It's a 3 for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're the only reason I saw this movie, too. That's just so funny.
I know, but that's, again, it's like, I do have an attachment to the franchise, and I do, and these characters, and I understand part of, I mean, one, I love Joey Pants. It was upsetting, but I enjoyed where the story took it. It was funny because as we were watching it, and it's like Will Smith gets shot at the beginning. Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to say spoiler alert before the spoiler.
Oh, is that how that works? And so I was like, that's so weird to put us in this turmoil of like, is he going to survive? I'm assuming he's going to survive because this is the beginning of the fucking movie. Yeah. And then to do what they did definitely emotionally got me because I was connected to those characters. But those are the 3 from the original franchise that it's like, those are the people that I care about.
Yeah.
I want to see, and, you know, I don't know. So, yes, part of it, I still had fun. It was an enjoyable movie to watch. Could it have been better for me and what I was wanting? Yes. So it's a 3.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to Birds of Prey.
Spicy.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, wow. You sound so excited to do this.
So here's my thing. Unlike Bad Boys, I was actually very excited for this movie. Mm-hmm. And
I'm very excited for this movie.
I was so disappointed. So I have a quick story to tell you really quick. So we sit down. We're also at the Prime and AMC. Mm-hmm. Sit down. And immediately there is a creepy man in a trench coat doing weird shit in his seat.
What?
And it was distracting. And so I was with a friend that like is...
Oh, you didn't go with that. Oh, yeah. We didn't see it with you.
No, I didn't see it with you guys.
Oh, okay.
I was with a friend that is, like, the most unbothered human ever. Like, mm-hmm. nothing ever bothers her. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the paranoid one, and she's like, Sean, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Calm down. Mm-hmm. She was like, what the fuck is going on? And when I look at her and she's stressed out about something, I'm like, okay, then my fears are not unfounded. So he gets up. First of all, he's wearing a trench coat in the theater in, like, this. It was, like, 70 degrees last week. Like, it wasn't cold last weekend. trench coat. He keeps getting up and he takes his phone. And my thought is like, he's going to kill us. Like he's plotting on his cell phone, like kill us. Or I don't know. It's just weird. And like, then the person next to my friend started looking at us like, this guy's weird, right? And it's like, oh my God, now strangers are like getting in this. Like the guy clearly had a creepy fucking vibe. Mm-hmm. So I go in and get like the AMC person, completely fucking useless. I literally leave the movie during one of his exits because he's gone like 10 different times throughout the film.
Oh, Jesus.
And I go get the person and I'm like, hey, I just like, I don't want to be paranoid, but like there's a creepy guy that's like sitting next to us. And like I told her where our seats were, whatever. She comes, she follows me in the theater, which I was like, don't follow me. Like, don't make it obvious. She follows me in the theater and she stands right next to us watching us. I'm like, go, like, what are you doing? Like, he's not going to do anything weird when you're standing there. Like, you're supposed to be discreet about this.
Oh my God.
Anyway, he gets up again. Then the AMC person leaves. And I'm like, where are you going? Like, did you go get him? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then she proceeds to go stand in the corner with her looking at her cell phone. So she's like, she's the distraction in the mm-hmm. theater now. And finally, my friend and I are like, we're just going to get up and move. Like, so we moved to the front row. And it was not the best experience. And it was kind of indicative of the movie because, like, I hadn't been enjoying the movie up to that point anyway. So I was like, fine. It was just, it was, like I said before, too much style, not enough substance. I couldn't tell you what the story was. It was stupid.
Whoa. Wow.
I love, love, love Margot Robbie. She's like my new favorite thing. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like she couldn't even do justice to this movie.
What?
It was literally just like fight scene after fight scene after fight scene after fight scene after fight scene. Like, no, it's nonsensical violence. It's stupid. And for a movie that was about, and this is the last thing I'll say, sorry. For a movie that was about female empowerment, the fact that she could not stop talking about her ex-boyfriend and the breakup was driving me crazy. Like, every time she met somebody new, she had to remind them that she had just broken up with the Joker. And I'm like, well, who cares? We got that, like, five hours ago. I don't know. Okay. Sorry.
This is part of her healing process.
Yeah, I'm not interested
in that. To become a more independent woman.
Okay,
to become a more independent psychopath.
Yeah, I was going to say, because mm-hmm. she's fucking nuts.
So I want to give a couple of trivia things.
Okay.
Obviously, now that Sean's done with his review.
Yes, yes, he's done. Moving on.
Obviously, the name is changing to Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. The egg sandwich that is made for Harley Quinn is not made with chicken eggs. It's made with duck eggs. Because I guess Margot Robbie is allergic to egg whites. She gets migraines.
From egg whites? I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing either.
Jason Lindsay is allergic to eggs in general.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. That egg sandwich looked delicious. I loved it.
It did, actually.
It was like a love story to that sandwich.
That was like the one good part about the movie I was excited about.
I loved that whole part.
None of the main characters wear skirts in the film. Mm-hmm. Interesting. For like a superhero female type of movie.
Okay.
It's kind of nice and refreshing. Mm-hmm. And then I can't substantiate this fact with any evidence.
Okay.
Or any more detail other than what I'm about to say.
Okay. Jesus.
Lady Gaga was offered a lead role in the film, but turned down the offer. So I don't know what role she would have.
Lead?
Yeah.
So why can't you discuss that further? Where did you hear this?
Obviously not Harley Quinn.
I read that online, but then there was no other information to back that up or what the role was or anything. But I was like, that's fucking
maybe
weird.
Mary Elizabeth's part.
I mean, I can definitely see Gaga in this movie. Like, it's definitely like eccentric style. Enough for her. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Huh.
Oh, maybe not Black Canary. That
no,
been...
I, no.
She was so good.
She was so good. I loved everything she was wearing.
Oh, somebody that
wearing.
Was singing, maybe that could have been her.
Oh, maybe.
Interesting. I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
So, I thought Journey was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved everything she wore.
Oh my god, she was so great. Yeah.
She looked so great.
I did my hair like her at work, and they were like, you just look ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Because I pinned it up on the side.
Okay.
And then tried to like curl my hair. I'm like, not going to do dreads and put jewels in them, but I really liked her hair.
Please don't ever do dreads. I beg of you.
But I had like chunkier, thick kind of waves, and they were, my friends at work were like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I wish I knew this day so that I could picture it in my fucking head right now. What a weirdo.
Sean, did you like anything about this movie?
You better say Margot.
No, I did not.
Whoa.
So I came up with a slogan for this movie that I think could have been on the posters and it would have been just fine. Lord.
Okay.
Girls kick ass. Cool. That's it.
Do you think that you didn't enjoy this because you're not a girl?
I mean, listen, if you are ladies that did enjoy it and you enjoyed like the female empowerment aspect of it, then cool. I don't think that, like, I'm not looking at this as like a sexist, chauvinist male that's like, oh, girls trying to, you know, be empowered in the world. No. Like, I'm full in support of female mm-hmm. empowerment. I think there was probably a different way to tell that story, though, is what mm-hmm. I'm saying. And I think that, like, maybe it's not for me to critique. I don't know. Like, if you enjoyed this movie and you were the demographic they were trying to talk to, then sweet. They did their job.
I just like the whole uprising of Harley Quinn.
I didn't get that, though. I didn't
like that we're bringing this character in. It's not just, like, crazy Joker that's everybody, you know, knows the Joker. And it's like, I like that they're bringing a different, like, characters in from the world of DC.
But I feel like you could have told it in such, like, a more empowering way. I don't know. It didn't feel empowering to me. Like,
I mean, I guess it wasn't empowering to me either, but...
But isn't that what it was, that the thesis of the film?
Well, I think that there's a lot of movies that it's like, if you're kind of doing this now new standalone character, mm-hmm. separate of Suicide Squad or separate of, like, you know, a combination of characters,
right.
You kind of have to do a little bit of an origin story, which we got a little bit of her origin story mm-hmm. in Suicide Squad. Yep. But now it's like, what is the origin story of her as an individual
without the Joker?
Her as Joker's girlfriend.
That's not an origin story then. That's like a going forward story.
That's what I'm saying. In the most possible way to make this an origin story of who she is as Harley Quinn on her own.
Because there's going to be more Harley Quinn movies. Mm-hmm. So now we're...
Then maybe, like, it could have been more interesting to tell the origin story of her, like, prior to...
But they did in Suicide Squad. So it's, if you're not, like, recasting and kind of doing a retelling of it, then...
You already know.
You've already established that. So since this is supposed to happen... After Suicide Squad,
yeah.
You kind of have to continue. You have to continue that.
She gave a brief back of when she fell into the, the acid or whatever with him. That was it.
Yeah,
because we already saw it.
We already saw it. And we don't need to see that again.
Okay, help me understand. Was Ewan McGregor's character gay? Were they trying to tell that story?
I feel like they kind of alluded to that. And there was a moment where I was like,
"Chris was the boss."
Him and Chris gonna kiss?
Chris was the boss. He mm-hmm. was like, you go do that now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but there was that moment where he like looked, they looked at each other and there was like that sexual vibe between them. And that's why I was like, okay, is that, so what are we supposed to make of that?
But then kind of Chris had that moment with Harley, mm-hmm. with Margot on the couch where he kind of put his arm around her.
So like everybody's bisexual in this world.
But I didn't get that chemistry with Margot.
See, I thought they had such good chemistry together that I was like, oh, why weren't they kind of at each other more through the movie? I would have loved to have seen that more.
No, I didn't get that at
all. I thought it was so fun.
I loved him for sure.
Oh, yeah. They needed way more Chris Messina.
You know, I love me some Chris Messina, and I also love when guys have blonde hair that aren't blonde.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like my favorite thing.
And so, like, the guy that's in Waves, like the black guy that's in Waves has blonde hair, and he just looks hot. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to love this. I was theirs to lose, or however that expression goes.
I just think she's just so Harley Quinn. Like, no one is going to be Harley Quinn. Like, you know, when you think of, I don't know, a character, maybe. It's like she's, I don't know how they're going to do this with anyone else.
I think Margot Robbie brings, like, through her screen presence, just brings, like, magic to any scene that she's in.
Yeah.
And I just didn't, I don't know. Something like, maybe it was even the, no, I don't know what it was. I was going to say maybe like the direction or something, but like I can't pinpoint what it was, but I didn't feel, she didn't seem like a star in this to me.
Oh.
Not the star that I like was expecting her to be or that I know her to be. And I mean, even coming off like Bombshell where she had like a supporting role, mm-hmm. I felt like she owned, you know, those scenes, especially like she got like probably the most important scene in the film, you know, and she did it fantastically. And so I don't know. Maybe it's not as bad as I recall it to be, and I did have like a weird experience like watching it.
Right.
But I just didn't. I don't even know if I'd want to watch it again though. That's my thing. Like normally for me, that's the measure of a good film is like, do I want to see this again? And I'm just no, not really.
I'd totally see it again.
I'd see it again. I thought it was fun. To me, the things that I really, really enjoyed in the movie, obviously Chris Messina.
Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed Ewan McGregor. I thought he was great.
I thought Ewan was great. Yeah. I wish he had pushed it a little bit more to be a little
more
bit
weird,
a little more weird, a little more gritty and dark.
Yeah,
because he was a little.
He's trying to be funny,
comical. Yeah, more, and it's. I think that's a little bit. I definitely lean more towards the Dark Knight type of comic book movies, and maybe even Joker more so that are more
really dark.
Grounded and dark and gritty, whereas this kind of goes back to more of the
comic book
style mm-hmm. film. But it was still super fun. The fight choreography and stunt work, I think, were just fucking spectacular.
It was overkill for me.
There was definitely a lot of fight scenes. A lot.
I feel like the whole movie was fight scenes.
I feel like overall, the movie needed to have been cut about 20 minutes. Yeah. It just was too long.
I think all of that 20 minutes should have been Rosie Perez.
Oh, yeah. I did not enjoy Rosie Perez. She just felt so stiff and uncomfortable.
Was this just someone that was like, let's give her another shot because we're doing that thing, for...
They kept referencing about like the 80s cop. Was she like an 80s cop? Like, and then that's why they brought her back?
I didn't get that either. I was like, what does that mean? Like, what are they alluding to here? Yeah. Because I've seen enough 80s cop movies that I was like, another stakeout?
I went back and looked at her stuff and like, she didn't do that. I don't understand. Yeah. She did not fit in for me.
Yeah.
But that's that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking to that like, I would have stopped filming the movie
and recast.
But even that though, that's just a symptom of the bigger problem though, I feel like. Because it's like it didn't hit the mark in the sense that like, yes, Margot Robbie is a star and she deserved to be in it, and maybe with another like better supporting cast she could have done a better job. I don't know. I just felt like it was just like lackluster is the word that I have in my notes. Mm-hmm. Like they bill it as this grand spectacular thing that they promoted since what, the fucking summer of 2019, and it's like, okay, this is gonna be
The supporting girls were a little lackluster.
But that's what I mean.
Journey was good. I liked the little girl.
I loved Journey.
Yeah, I loved the little girl.
Yeah, she was great. But
Mary Elizabeth was, to me.
I thought the little girl was annoying.
I kind of liked Mary Elizabeth because she was like super fucking awkward. And I felt like that was, and she really kind of leaned into it. And I thought that was really funny to kind of like, she's trying to create this thing, like this name and, you know, legacy of who she is. And she's just so weird about it. And I kind of liked it.
I don't know.
To me, the thing that was a little bit frustrating about it, obviously, is like the length of the film, because I felt like it just was like lagged in a few places. And then the fact that it's like these girls didn't get together until the third act. Yeah. And it's like I kind of would have liked to have seen them come together a little bit earlier and then kind of root for them for a longer period of time. So it was just so much setup of each of these people and their backstories. That it was just like,
and why they're coming together. And...
Yeah. So it's like, I get it if like there's going to be continuations of these films with these girls all together. But then I don't know the comic books to know that like, the Birds of Prey include these particular characters, but not Harley. Is she never part of that group anyway? So I don't know.
Does this mean we're going to have to see more Rosie Perez?
That's what I'm wondering. But it's like, she was such a...
Thorn in the side of the film.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Why? I'm thinking of somebody that I cannot remember her name. She was in like Sin City and...
Jessica Alba?
No.
But I could have seen like a Jessica Alba in this. Even like a Jennifer Garner who just did like Peppermint. Like I feel like there's so many good actors out there that could have done like...
Not Carla.
Added to the supporting cast in this film. That just... Where are they? Like, I just didn't, I don't know. Didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to give our scores? Or is there anything else you wanted to?
I
want to
figure out what this person's name is.
Okay. Why don't Lena and I give our scores while you figure out what her name is? I'm a 4. Because I just didn't. It's not a 5. I mean, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen. But it's not, like I said, it's not something I want to watch again. And it is what it is. Lena?
Yeah. I'm still going to give it a 2. I really, really like Harley Quinn's character. I was her for Halloween a few years ago. And I love Marco as Harley. I think it's very fun. And I want to see more Harley Quinn. I want to see more. Okay. I love the character.
That's fair. I'm excited to see her in the next Suicide Squad, right? They're doing another one of those?
Yeah.
Hopefully they've learned their lessons and that will be a better film.
Hopefully it's a lot of Will Smith and a lot of Marco.
Is Jared Leto the Joker again? And
I don't know if the Joker's coming back at all.
Oh,
and a lot more Joel Kinnaman. Rick Flag.
Rosario Dawson. So I felt like would have been a better person to cast than Rosie Perez.
I would prefer her.
Yeah.
I can't stand her.
Definitely.
Nope. No. I give it a 2. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It's certainly not like a perfect movie by any means. I feel like there could be a lot of things that they could have done to improve it, just even with what they shot and not even...
Yeah.
That's even without recasting.
Yeah.
You know, so I just feel like... It just, she just was annoying and frustrating and whatever. But But yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Well, and wait, you didn't talk about the fact that your favorite scene with like Harley coming into the police station and stuff.
That was
and shoot,
totally
it was just
fun.
So fun.
I love that she's shooting glitter bullets.
Guns.
It's so fun.
It was very stylized. It was just super.
It's so her. It's just that character.
Yeah. I would say that really that like for it. Me in the police station with the glitter is probably the most enjoyable scene.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
And I do like how the film was like edited where it's like a little bit crazy, like Harley is retelling the story of what's happening. So we're kind of bouncing around. To me, that was really fun where it's like we see parts of her coming into the police station, then we're kind of rewinding back to figure out how she got there. So to me, it worked. That non-linear storytelling.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed our Bad Boys, Birds of Prey, and our Hasta la Fuego Martini.
Mm. Oh, it was so good.
It was good. I'm actually quite proud of myself.
It is. I wish my mouth was a little bit more in fuego.
Mine actually is because I have
the
seeds.
Ate
the
seed.
I have the seeds in me. Well,
I definitely loved it a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels, in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers! Bye!
Baby, tonight's like fuego. We about to spend a dinero. We party to the extremo, baby.